The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another hot stove edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We have a development, and this morning, I think in the 8 o'clock hour, I tweeted out on the Bastards Twitter account, I think it could be an interesting day, and it was a gut feeling, is what the tweet said, and it took all the way till 10 p.m. to get there, but Pete Alonso is off the board, very unshockingly, goes back to the New York Mets. What was shocking about it was it's only a two-year deal worth $54 million. There's an opt-out after the first year. The first year is a $30 million guaranteed year, and then he can opt out. If not, he'll play next year in 2026 for the Mets for $24 million. So far lower than projected. And apparently there was a three-year deal he rejected from the Mets to because that one didn't contain an opt-out, apparently. But anyway, I am Terry Cushman, Nick Diamond with me tonight. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm actually very upset about this deal. 2 years, $54 million. This is a very doable deal for the Boston Red Sox. And if you stick him into Fenway Park, he probably hits 45 homers over the left field wall. Like, I know, Terry, you've been in on him for a while, and I wasn't super, super in on him. But for this contract, you have to be in on him. At 2 years, $60 million, $65 million, $70 million, whatever it takes. You get him in here, you put him at DH, you put him at first base, you split time, and he hits between Devers and he hits between Casas. And this team is significantly better with him hitting 45 home runs on the Red Sox. And they just couldn't get it done. I know he wanted to be a Met, but if you offer him $10 million more, he probably accepts the deal to the Red Sox, you know? He sees Fenway Park. He knows he can hit the ball over the monster. Like, he gets on base, and he gets on base at least at like a 350 clip. Like, this guy was a perfect fit for the Red Sox. If you can sit there and DFA Yoshida, which was probably the cause. Like, the Red Sox didn't want to DFA Yoshida. They didn't want to get in on this deal because they think Yoshida could still hit. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm very upset that this wasn't even a thought for the Red Sox. Like, 2 years, $54 million for a guy who can hit 40 home runs, and he has done it multiple times in his career. Like, we need right-handed power. This is exactly what we need. I know you've been on it, so I'm going to let you go ahead.
I don't think the Red Sox ever even made them an offer. There was never any momentum, any rumors connecting Boston to Alonso. The only other team connected to him was the Blue Jays, and it seemed like they were close a week or so ago. And that's exactly it. I wasn't an Alonso guy at the beginning of the winter. It wasn't a place I wanted to go. But as it became clearer and clearer, he wasn't going to get that $5 to $7 million deal. It started to get intriguing. In the last few weeks, it made a lot of sense. And I've said all along, Nolan Arenado would be the Mike Lowell of, you know, he would have that impact. And I think Pete Alonso would have had a JD Martinez type impact with the Red Sox in the heart of the order. I think he'd be the closest thing to that. And he, you know, Martinez hit for high average, and Alonso doesn't do that, but he still has an insanely high on base, probably more power than JD does. So I think they profile very similarly. And if this is a team that wants to get serious about winning, that would have seriously impacted your chances. If Pete Alonso was added to this lineup, I might pick us to win the division. I might pick us to win the American League East, but they never even considered it for whatever reason. At the beginning of the winter, we're going to get into some Sam Kennedy here, but at the beginning of the winter, Kennedy was quoted as saying, "The Red Sox are approaching this winter with extreme aggression." Yesterday, as the truck pulled away from Fenway Park with six fans in attendance, not exaggerating, there was six there, he said, "We need to do what makes sense in the short and long term." That deal does both of that. It helps you in the short term, and there are no long-term concerns because the deal is up before then. You can keep extending him if you want him long-term, but this fits that narrative, and they still didn't go after him.
I completely agree. At the money that he was given to the Mets, I kind of agree that he probably wanted to be a Met long-term, and that's where he wanted to stay. But if the Red Sox came out there and offered him 2 for $70, he goes to the Red Sox, and he hits 40 home runs with ease over the monster. And he bats fourth, he bats third between Devers and Casas as the full-time DH. I know you probably have to find somebody to get rid of Yoshida for, but you could DFA him if you want to go out there and win the division. Like you said, I probably would pick them to win the division if you go out there and get a guy like Pete Alonso to hit 40 home runs between those two superstars. I'm not going to sit there and call Costas a superstar, but he can hit 30 home runs if he goes out there and he's a good player this year. If he stays healthy, he can hit 30 home runs. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. I think he can hit 35 home runs. But if you stick Pete Alonso in this lineup, this team is very good. And they didn't even consider it. It's just frustrating to me that we need right-handed power. So Craig Breslow came out and said, we need right-handed power. We need elite production from a right-handed hitter. This contract brings that. You put him in the middle of the order, he hits 40 home runs over this little 310-foot wall. I know it's tall, but he hits fucking bombs. I know I just swore right there, but he hits bombs. This is exactly what we need in the middle of the order. Like, what else do you want? What else is out there? Alex Bregman doesn't hit 40 home runs. If that's what your pivot is, I know it's probably not going to happen. But there's a tiny chance that Alex Bregman is the option, and he plays second base, he plays third base, whatever. But Pete Alonso, you put him in his order, I guarantee he hits 40 home runs. And that's a low end. At Fenway Park, he could hit 40 to 50 home runs. Like, he was a perfect fit at that contract. I'm sorry. But, like, this was a no-brainer to me.
Since 2019, Pete Alonso is second in Major League Baseball in home runs.
What, Aaron Judge was one?
And Aaron Judge is number one.
That's the only other right-handed hitter who's better than him at home run hitting at this point. It's Aaron Judge, who you're not getting, obviously. He's a Yankee for life. He signed the contract with the Yankees. And then it's Pete Alonso, who you could have had for 2 for $65 million.
Aaron Judge doesn't stay healthy, and that contract won't age well. Pete Alonso does stay healthy. What do you think the minimum number of games he's ever played was? What's his low? Not counting 2020, obviously. What's the lowest number, just without looking?
I'm not going to look. I'll go 142. I have no idea, but like I don't think he's ever missed time.
152. That's the least amount of games he's ever played. So the reason I'm throwing this out here is, what was the risk? What was the risk in signing Alonso? There was none.
No risk. It was Masataka Yoshida. That's the risk. It's, you have to DFA him to get Pete Alonso on this team, or you have to trade Tristan Casas.
You DFA Yoshida is the move, and man, I'm not going to go through my theory, but I've said it at length a couple of times. Once the Yoshida money couldn't be moved, the brakes got pumped. Like, this is like the 2020s right now is you had the curse of the Bambino. It's the curse of the Yoshida right now. That is just killing us.
I completely agree. And I know there's a lot of fans, Red Sox fans that out there that say Masataka Yoshida is not that bad. He's an okay hitter, whatever, but he can't play defense. He is not the hitter Pete Alonso is, not even close. And he hits left-handed. He's just a terrible fit for this team. I know a lot of people are trying to go out there and give Chaim Bloom credit for this number one farm system. The number one farm system doesn't win World Series. It doesn't win playoff games. Like, we need to go out there and sign a right-handed hitter. If the Red Sox don't sign a right-handed hitter, I think this team is third place at best. If they sign a elite right-handed hitter, which Pete Alonso is off the board, Alex Bregman's probably left. That's probably the last free agent left that I'll be like, all right, this team is significantly improved. But if this was a perfect deal for the Boston Red Sox, and I wasn't even a Pete Alonso guy coming into this, but at 2 for $54 million, it was a no-brainer to go out there and top that by 10. $15 million. It's a two-year deal. What is the risk? There is no risk. He hits 40 mil. He hits 40 bombs next year. That's not a risk. Oh, my gosh. He might get hurt. He's never been hurt in his entire career. Who cares? Go out there and give him 2 for $70 million. I'm just so upset that they couldn't even go out there and put that offer on the table for a guy because of Masataka Yoshida. A guy who's going to go never play at the outfield. He's never going to play the outfield again. He's bad in the outfield. And he's a DH only, and he hits 12 home runs a year. Like, you have Pete Alonso sitting there. Come on. Just make an offer, $10 million, $5 million over what the Mets just paid him, and he's a Red Sox. It's not that hard. It's very frustrating what's going on right now because Masataka Yoshida's influencing long-term deals. He's influencing short-term deals, and he should not be.
The curse of the Yoshida. That's what this is. If I was the Red Sox front office, I would have given Pete Alonso the same 3 years, $90 million that the Mets had offered him previously. And by the way, last season they offered him around 150 over 5 years, so it just kept going down and down, and then ultimately it ended up with what it was today. But I would have given him the 3 years, $90 million, with an opt out after every year. I would have said, yeah, opt out whenever you want. We hope you like it here, and we like you, but we want everyone to be happy.
And I think he takes that instantly. Yeah. At this point, at what he just took today, like a 2 for $54 million, I think he takes that instantly. And I think he's smart enough to know Fenway Park, he's going to hit 10 extra home runs, maybe 5 extra home runs. But he fits right in the middle of the order perfectly between Devers, between Casas. You maybe split time between Casas and Alonso at first base. Who cares? The other one plays DH, the other one plays first base, but they're perfect. It was a perfect deal at this point. And it was just, it's just mind-boggling that they didn't even offer him anything. The Red Sox were not even connected. Breslow didn't even think about him. Maybe he did. I don't know. But it was just mind-boggling that this wasn't even a thought for the Boston Red Sox.
In a very short postseason sample size, Pete Alonso is a .278 hitter with a .429 on base. Had a couple of very clutch home runs this year. I think the first of which, I forget which series that was, but it might have been, it was against Milwaukee, actually.
And, yeah, the Brewers bomb.
And that saved the series. Like, Pete Alonso single-handedly sent them into the NLDS against the Phillies with that bomb. So a guy who, in a short sample size, has been clutch. He checked off every box. He checked off every box, and Red Sox fans are just a victim. We're all just victims of the incompetent, toxic front office that we've had for quite a while now.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather have the Red Sox assign Pete Alonso for 2 years? I'm going to go crazy. 2 years, $80 million. Or Alex Bregman for 5
Alonso.
Years.
Alonso. As soon as you said Bregman, it's just Alonso. Bregman.
I kind of agree. Like, I'd rather you pay Pete Alonso $40 million a year for 2 years than Alex Bregman for 5 or 6 or 4 even at this point. I think Pete Alonso fits this roster better. And I know you've been a Pete Alonso guy. Like,
I've only been just for a few weeks now. I mean, it's just made sense. And I thought the market, like I said, was playing right to the Red Sox. And it was, but they opted out. They didn't want to participate. But Alex Bregman just makes no sense. Let's say it's a 6-year deal, okay?
I agree, because I think he's going to get 6 years. I think he gets the 6 years.
How are you going to feel about that deal in 3 years? Even if he's okay, even if there's no major regression, you've got all this young, cheaper talent, and you can take that money and spread it somewhere else. Maybe you're going to need a starter at that point, or maybe one of your prospects is going to need an extension. An Alex Bregman deal just makes no sense. He's literally not a fit. Pete Alonso is a fit.
I totally agree with that, because we're talking about putting Alex Bregman at second base, a position he's never played in the major leagues, at least. Maybe he played in high school. Maybe he played in college. Who cares? He played shortstop in college. I know that for sure. But Pete Alonso, you know he's going to come into Fenway Park. He's been durable. He's going to hit 100. He'll probably hit 80 home runs in 2 years at Fenway Park. Like, that's not an exaggeration. I think he would hit 80 home runs at least in 2 years at Fenway Park. What is Alex Bregman going to hit in 5-6 years at Fenway Park? 120? In 3 more years?
Yeah. I think at this point he's a 20 to 25 guy.
I think this was the perfect fit at the contract that he got. Did I think he was going to get $54 million for 2 years? No. I thought he'd get a little bit more than that. But, like, this is embarrassing. The Red Sox weren't even in on it. I think he wanted to be a Met. I do. But, like, you could have offered him $10 million more. You could have offered him $15 million more. And he definitely agrees to playing at Fenway Park for the next 2 years. I think it helps him. I think Pete Alonso, you could have given Pete Alonso a 1-year deal for $38 million. And he goes, I'll bet on myself. I'll hit 45 to 50 home runs for the Boston Red Sox over the Green Monster. And I'll opt out or whatever that deal was. And I think the Red Sox were a perfect fit for him. It's just, it's frustrating that it wasn't even a thought for the Boston Red Sox.
You know who's probably shitting his pants right now?
No, but who are you thinking?
Vladimir Jr. His stock just dropped.
I don't think it goes down. I know the first base I know we've been talking about Tristan Casas and how low his value is because he's a first baseman who's not a great defender. He's just a bat-only guy. But Vladimir Guerrero is different. I think he gets over $400 million no matter where he goes.
I think he gets $400 million if he does it this winter with the Blue Jays.
Would you give him $400 million if you're the Red Sox, though? Because I would.
I would, yeah. But I feel like he's going to go into next winter with a limited market. I think he's probably not signing before February 8th. I think it's going to be, and I think the numbers are going to come down. The numbers are going to come down. And I've said it all winter. If you don't get your deal done by the end of the winter meetings, all your leverage is gone. You just lost it. And the teams have all the leverage. And we just saw it with Alonso. It went from 3 years, $90 million, all the way down to what it did today.
We also saw what Josh Naylor was traded for. Nothing. Cleveland, a team that usually, in my opinion, goes out there and fleeces other teams. Cleveland. They got out there and they traded Josh Naylor for nothing. Like, first baseman's overweight. Tristan Casas, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., overweight first baseman that are bat-first guys. They're not glove-first guys. They are very undervalued in today's game. And they probably are right that they're not overvaluing these guys. I don't know if Tristan Casas is going to age well. Probably not. Vladimir Guerrero probably will not age well. But I do think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will have at least six more years that he's an elite baseball player. I just think this position is so undervalued that at this point, I kind of get where Tristan Casas was thrown into trade for Luis Castillo, for Wu, all these other guys. I don't think he'll be traded for Nolan Arenado. I don't think that's an equal value, but I think Tristan Casas is so overvalued by Red Sox fans and other fans, like, oh my gosh, he's just a fat first baseman that can catch the ball and hit 25 to 35 home runs. Like, that's all he does. Like, at this point, I'm just so upset that they couldn't get something done earlier. Pete Alonso would have been perfect. That's all I'm saying. You could have traded Tristan Casas. You could have gotten the pitcher from the Mariners. Maybe. You might have gotten the pitcher from the Mariners. You could have traded Tristan Casas, and you could have brought in maybe Josh Naylor even. Josh Naylor is probably just as good as Tristan Casas or better, and they gave him up for nothing. Like, we are overvaluing a first baseman for no reason. I'm trying to get to that point. And I couldn't get to it at first, but we're overvaluing Tristan Casas for no reason. And I think Josh Naylor is a better baseball player. And I think the Red Sox think he's this great baseball. He's a good hitter, not a great hitter. And I'm just so upset that we're passing on Pete Alonso, a guy who can fit in the middle of the order and hit between these two guys for years or 2 years at least. And it's so frustrating that we're valuing Tristan Casas more than him. He's not a better baseball player, and he never will be.
I mean, Alonso has everyone. How many times have you heard or seen on social media this winter that Casas is a 40 home run guy? I see it every day.
I see it every day, and he's never done it. I know Pete Alonso's done it.
Exactly. He's done it three times.
And I like Tristan Casas, I do. But you can't go out there and say he's a 40 home run guy until he does it. You know, he hasn't stayed healthy. That's a big thing. You have to stay healthy. He is left-handed. That's a big thing. Everybody in this lineup hits left-handed. Even your prospects hit left-handed. Marcelo Meyer is a left-handed hitter. Roman Anthony's a left-handed hitter. Like, all your big-time prospects are left-handed hitters. Even Kyle Teal was a left-handed hitter before he was traded. Like, this team needs some balance. And Pete Alonso was perfect to balance out this lineup.
Speaking of the farm system real quick, Baseball America, I aren't they the most respected list that there is, which makes this especially shocking. The Red Sox, according to them, it came out today, are the number one farm system in Major League Baseball. After the Kyle Teal trade, we trade two of our top five prospects, and we've got no pitching whatsoever, yet they have us number one. I mean, that sounds fraudulent to me.
I agree that Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell are great players, and I hope they work out. But yes, I don't think you can rank a team one when your best pitching prospect is like Hunter Dobbins, who was probably a reliever at best. You know, like, we have no pitching coming through the pipeline. Like, you got like Hunter Dobbins, like those kind of guys who are mid-level, probably relievers in the long run. Like, that's it. I agree that Roman Anthony is probably going to be a stud. Christian Campbell will probably be a serviceable MLB player, probably a better than a serviceable MLB player. But you cannot be a number one farm system when you have zero pitching prospects. Like, your best pitching prospects have reliever? Come on.
The annoying thing about it is, you know, when Breslow and Kennedy see that, they probably have a sense of validation that they're doing it right and they're not doing it right. And the farm system shouldn't be rated this high. That's just so terrible right now for Red Sox fans. Now, I'm glad we have good prospects and it's a good farm system, but I doubt it's even really a top five farm system. And for anyone in the audience rolling their eyes right now, in 2015, when we had Yoan Moncada, he was the number one prospect in our system and the number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball. And Dave Dombrowski started dismantling the farm system, but none of these guys ever panned out anywhere. I can't think of one guy in that farm system that crushed it anywhere.
Yeah, Jaron Duran and Tristan Casas, two big Dombrowski guys.
They came later. I'm talking about when Dombrowski took over.
Also, the Michael Chavises, that kind of people.
Yeah. I think Chavis was in there at the time, yeah. So what I'm getting at here is, in 2015, when we were number one, it wasn't legit. I mean, you couldn't have predicted that all of them would have been busts like they were, but it's just an example of things aren't what they appear. And that was not a good crop of prospects because none of them did anything anywhere. Duran and Casas came up at, I think Duran was drafted in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, and Casas was the following year, 2018 or 19, something like that. But they came along later. But I just don't think we've got the number one farm system.
I mean, even if we do, I mean, I think Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell are legit players. And by legit players, they're serviceable MLB players. We don't know anything about them. We hear the comps, Roman Anthony, Christian Yelich. That's a serviceable comp, I guess. We'll see. But if he's Christian Yelich, I'll be ecstatic. Yeah, we don't know that. He's never played a game. He's played, like, 30 AAA games. Like, why are we sitting here telling this guy he's going to be a superstar when he's 19, 20 years old? And he's never played a major league game. Like, it's just ridiculous to me that we're just, oh, we're not going to sign Pete Alonso because of Roman Anthony? Like, come on. It's just so frustrating because they have so much faith in Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell, and they might be perfect baseball players. They might be great, but they're not sure things. I promise you that if you put Pete Alonso in this lineup, this team's a playoff team.
I think it wins the division.
The playoffs. If you put Pete Alonso and his 40 home runs in this lineup, they make the playoffs. If you put Roman Anthony in this lineup, they might not. And they probably won't.
Well, name a prospect or two that just started crushing it right away.
Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Hall of Famers.
Actually, well, I should have specified a Red Sox prospect.
Mookie Betts. And he came out of nowhere, honestly. Like, he was a fifth-round pick. He wasn't like Roman Anthony, who was a second-round pick. He wasn't Christian Campbell, who was I think he went in the fourth round. But, like, none of these picks were, like, first-round, top-round picks, you know? Like, I know the Red Sox took Jake Groom in the first round. He stunk. Like, they've missed on a lot of first-round picks. And it's all luck at this point. Like...
Yeah, Mookie, I guess, did have a better start. His third year was arguably an MVP year. Trout won it, but
2016 you're talking about?
Yeah.
I think Mookie deserved more credit, but Trout deserved it. Definitely deserved it.
Okay.
He was the better player that year, in my opinion.
Just go back a year before that. Mookie was pretty good, better than I would have guessed without looking. Hit 291, 341 on base, a very respectable 18 home runs, 77 runs batted in. And I think after 2014, I mean, he did get off to a good start on a small sample size. I think we were kind of recognizing, oh, wow, this guy could be a perennial all-star. And then... Mm-hmm. You know, and that carried into 2015. And then it's like by 2016, you're like, oh my God, this could be a generational talent, you know? But the other two guys that come to mind, Andrew Benintendi was really good when he got called up in 2016, even had some big moments in the playoffs, despite the fact we got swept. And then the only other guy I can remember that really crushed it right away was Will Middlebrooks, and then he got hurt, and then he was never the same. But he had a hot first few months. And so you have to go back to 2016, 2015, and 2012 to get to those players that made a big impact right away.
I'd argue Xander Bogaerts had a big impact in the playoffs, but exactly how you brought up Will Middlebrooks, he came up, he crushed it, and then he flamed out. He flamed out. That's what a lot of these big-time prospects do. Like, if you're not the best of the best, you go up there, you figure it out, you hit good pitching, and then if you can't adjust, you're out of the league in 2 to 3 years, like Will Middlebrooks was. What happened to Will Middlebrooks? He went to Philly, he got hurt, and then he was out of the league. You know, he had a big-time year at Fenway for 1 year. I know he went to – remember that game he went to Toronto and hit 3 home runs? Like, I thought he was a stud. But he just fell off the map. And that could happen to these guys. Christian Campbell and him have a similar profile. Decent power, decent – like, middle infield, third base type of guy. Like, this could happen to Christian Campbell. I'm not saying it will, but it could. And we're sitting here – we're not going to offer Pete Alonso 2 for $65 million because we have Christian Campbell on the roster? Come on.
The one guy we have been connected to, which kind of has a different feel now, Nolan Arenado, there's been, ever since last night, this would have been, let's see, Tuesday night, John Morosi came out with a tweet saying that the Red Sox and the Cardinals have had recent dialogue, and I don't know to what extent, like, was that the Red Sox calling the Cardinals because suddenly they're motivated now, or was it simply the Cardinals calling the Red Sox saying, hey, he's still here, we could still do something? So we don't know how serious it was or still is. I much rather would have had Pete Alonso, to be honest. And I was previously, earlier in the winter, Arenado was my number one. From a value perspective, from a bounce back perspective, I just see a ton of value there. And I would still be happy to have him, don't get me wrong. But you can have him for half the years that Bregman is going to get, 3 years, and roughly one-fourth the money. So if you don't go get him, if you just leave him sitting there, man, I don't know how, I'm being metaphorical here, but I don't know how you don't burn Fenway to the ground at that point. It would be really tough to wrap my head. Like, the universe wants Nolan Arenado to come to Boston. Half the fan base will say he's washed. The other half agrees with a few of us. And even Chaim Bloom, even though he's not technically the guy in charge, desperately wants that money off the books. And he's willing to send him to the team that essentially knifed him in the back on the way out. Like, the universe wants Nolan Arenado in Boston. And I don't know if we're going to do it.
I think, first off, Nolan Arenado himself wants to be in Boston. I think that's a big deal. I think, I know Trevor Story has been close to him. He's been like, they played together, were teammates. He's expressed interest in being in Boston. But I think it'd be a perfect fit if Rafael Devers is like, I'll play DH for 162. Tristan Costas plays first base. And Nolan Arenado is your elite defender at third base, which Breslow has said, I want to make the defense better. And he has not done that. Has he done that? No. In my opinion, he's probably made it worse. We're going to put Christian Campbell at second base to start the season. A guy who we don't know if he can play second base at the major league level. He's might be a left fielder. He might be a second baseman. He might be a third baseman. He might be a shortstop. Who knows what he is? I think Nolan Arenado at third base would be a great fit if you move Devers to third base or Devers to DH, and then Tristan Costa stays at first base. I think that's a perfect fit, and I also think Nolan Arenado will get better hitting. I think in Colorado he might have overperformed. In St. Louis, he might have underperformed. I think at Fenway Park he'll get that middle ground where he might bat 280, hit 25 to 30 home runs. And he might be able to bat third, or he might be able to bat third for this team between Casas and Devers. And I think it would be perfect. I think it would be so good for this team to get a guy who can actually field his position, which Devers cannot. What is he, 7th percentile at third base? That stinks.
One of the worst in the league, yeah.
Yes. But, and we know Nolan Arenado's won a platinum glove. He's won 10 gold gloves. We know he can field position. He can catch the ball. He can throw it to first base. And he's going to get outs. We don't know that Devers can do that at this point. I don't trust him to do that. I know Nolan Arenado is going to do that. I know that. If he can't hit, whatever. It's still an upgrade. I don't think you're going to give up a lot for him. I really don't. I know the Cardinals don't. He doesn't want to be with the Cardinals, obviously. And he only wants to go to the Red Sox. The Red Sox have all the leverage. You don't give up a lot for him. Go get him. I know you lost that on Pete Alonso. I think I would rather have had Pete Alonso. I think he's the better hitter at this point in his career. But if you don't get Nolan Arenado, this is a fail of an offseason. It is a fail of an offseason. Garrett Crochet was a good pitcher. Nice trade. Whatever. But come on. Go get Nolan Arenado. Put Devers the DH and make this happen. Go make the team better. Breslow promised this defense would be better. It has not been better. And it might be worse if you think about it. You still have Connor Wong at catcher. You still have Devers at third base. Who knows what's going to happen at second base? Grissom, David Hamilton, they're not good defenders. They're not great. They're bad.
Well, we'll call it a show. you know, it's just, you know, this calendar day alone just kind of sums up the entire Red Sox winter from a non-pitching perspective. So, the market's a lot smaller now, and you know, all the attention as far as Boris goes is on Alex Bregman, and they all report next week, so it's coming. and it could be tomorrow, could be the next day, could be at some point in the weekend, but we'll be here to cover it, and I don't have high expectations, but we'll see how it goes. Take care.